You're listening to The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch, with your host, Natalie Sedgwick. Mystic Podcast with your host, Natalie Sedgwick. Today, I am talking with Derry Carpenter. She used to be the Cine Witch, but now it's the Rainbow Witch. Give me your name.
I go by the Cine Witch. It's my new channel's the Rainbow Witch's Colorful Cottage.
That's
you know,
right.
Just whatever.
That Kelly Ann Maddox is now subscribed to. Look at you,
yes.
Big leagues. All right. Well, Derry, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you because you have been an avid supporter of me through all the years in terms of Witch is the Moon, my personal channel. My book, you and your son contributed some photos to my book, Raising the Magical Child, and I appreciated that because my kids are all grown up, so I don't have anything to show for my kids, so I really appreciated you and TJ giving me some of that wonderful photo stuff to put into my book, and also now you're on my podcast, so I really do appreciate you. One of the things that I wanted to get into with you is that you are a Christian witch. You consider yourself a Christian witch. And I know there's a whole lot of people out there going, that's
exactly
a conflict. How can you call yourself a Christian witch? And I have to tell you, when I stepped onto the path of the craft, I personally left the path of Christianity because mm-hmm. I see that as a bit of a conflict personally, right. Myself, for me. Because it does talk about in the Old Testament how you are not supposed to use things like divination or astrology or things like that. But that's also a conflict because in Genesis, it says that the stars were given us for signs. So, you know, in my opinion, the Bible as a book is full of a lot of conflicts and conflicting information. And I do know that hoodoo is a form of practice that is reliant on the Psalms specifically. So yeah. I wanted to give you an opportunity to define for us what you consider Christian witchcraft and why you don't see a conflict there.
Okay, now this is just me. This is not all Christian witches. This is just me. For me, I do go to church. I am a Methodist. I was raised Episcopalian. My first marriage, I married Catholic. Don't go there. Don't
yeah,
go
I was
going to
say, ooh, deep in it.
But I am now a Methodist. And the thing that I love, and I have had some definite conflict in my personal church. I have had some people, because I am an open witch. I mean, Natalie, you've known that from day one. I've never hidden anything about, I am an open book.
Right.
I'm a very proud witch. You know, I just did a video on my channel, The Rainbow Witch's Colorful Cottage, the other day about what being a witch means to me and why it's not a conflict for me personally. But for me, it's as my pastor says, it's a beautiful duality of faith. And if you think about it, in Christian, being a Christian, God created everything.
Correct.
In the eyes of God created nature, created the trees, he created the plants. So why is that wrong for me to take what he has gifted us in nature and use it to heal others and to heal myself?
Well, let me ask you, as a Christian witch, do you believe in a goddess? Do you work with a goddess?
Yes, I do. And that's another thing is that's where I get a lot of conflict from people because God is my patron deity and the Morrigan is my matron. And everybody's like, that doesn't work. I said, but for me it does because I am a witch that craves balance. For me, I cannot have light without the dark. And the Morrigan, as you know, because you are also a daughter of the Morrigan, is very much a mother figure. She is very, and a lot of people don't get that because a lot of people are afraid of her.
Well, thing I find about her, she's not a nurturing kind of mama. She's a tough love kind of mama. You know, it's not like Herod one, but that is her way of nurturing. It's tough love. You know, get up off your ass, stop feeling sorry for yourself, and get into gear. If you want to change it, do something about it.
Right.
Or don't come crying to me. You know, that's kind of the way I see her. So I don't see her technically as a typical nurturing motherly type like Caroline or Isis.
But she's there. She's
gonna leave you hanging. She's never gonna leave you hanging.
Right. So she's there. When you need her, she's there. And that's what needed when she came in. I was going through a crisis where, you know, God, like Jesus, had done everything he could for me, that I needed that tough love. I needed that kick in the ass.
Well,
I think as women,
we need a woman's perspective. Yes. Honestly, personally, I spent 20-something years in the Catholic Church. I was raised Church of Christ, which is very, you know, almost evangelical in nature. And it was, you know, my mother was a diehard Catholics are evil, idol-worshipping Satan lovers that are going to hell. They might as well march themselves there right now. So when I married a Catholic, my mother did not even come. Nobody from my family, not even my sister, came to my wedding. Nobody. I had a couple of friends that showed up, and that was it. And my husband's entire family, because he's Hispanic, showed up. The thing is my husband claims to be Catholic, but he's not a practicing Catholic. They opened up a new Catholic church right down the street from our house. I was like, "You going to mass today? Because you sure need some." And he's like, "You got a lot of room to talk." And I was like, "I'm fine where I am. I'm fine in my faith, you know." Right. But the thing was, is, you know, I did feel that the Catholic Church, one of the things my mother always had a problem with the Catholic Church was the idea of worshiping Mary. Now, those that are active in the Catholic Church will tell you immediately, we do not worship Mary. We venerate her. But what does venerate mean? Okay.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You know, the fact of the matter is, they talk about how she's a creature created by God, but then they turn around in the same breath and say she's perfect because she was made perfect by God in order to give birth to the Son of God. So she can't be both at the same time. Either she is or she isn't. So for me,
it's the
exactly. And
we come up with Mary, a lot of that. Yeah.
When I need the nurturing kind of mother, Mary is the one I turn to. We have the statue of the Virgin in our backyard that was at my mother's front door.
Right.
And I find her quite nurturing. And sometimes you need that. So no disrespect to the Morrigan. She understands because I don't know how you feel about it, but my personal opinion is there is one male deity. There is one female energy, right? Deity. Yeah. And the two swirl like a yin and yang kind of thing. Uh-huh. But it's, they make themselves known to us in the way that we can comprehend, that we can relate to.
Right.
You know?
And that's different for everybody.
Absolutely.
That's different for everybody.
Because we are all different. But I also believe that we are individuated aspects of the divine itself.
Yes.
Just as your children are a part of you and an expression of you, and my children are an expression of me. So, you know, that piece of the divine, a part of you lives within your children, right?
Right. Right.
So therefore, we are a part of that divine, and we can take part in that process, which is why we feel the need to, as I can see behind you, create.
Yes.
You do a lot of creating.
Well,
you know, I look at your page, and I'm a little bit jealous because I don't have the time to sit and create as you do. I wish I could.
Other than my color pages, a lot of this art in this room is not mine. It has been gifted to me from friends who are creators.
Wow. Well, it's all beautiful. You know, you have a wonderful, bright, vibrant space, and I love it. So, so let me ask you, going back to the topic of being a Christian witch and being a practicing Methodist in that vein, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to me about some of the, I want to hear the dirt. Tell me about the kind of people that approach you at church and what they say to you exactly and what your responses are. So let's get into the good stuff.
Now we're getting into the nitty gritty. Okay. I have actually had, there's a woman that goes to our church who is the grandmother of people that I used to nanny for. And she, at one time, she befriended me. She took TJ under her wing. She became the grandmother that TJ didn't have. You know, she kind of wheedled her way because I was at her home every day. Because I had all six of her grandkids. I was there. She literally lived 10 feet away. So I was there all the time. And then once things started to go wrong and like her family started to see her true colors, because she's a die in the wool, die hard Catholic. Catholic, and I was just like, but her whole family is Methodist except for her. Her children, her husband, they're all Methodist. She's a diehard Catholic. She's not going to want, you know. And it dawned on me that she was trying to save me.
Don't you love that?
I'm not about it. I'm not about it. I'm okay where I'm at. My God, my Jesus know what I'm about. They're okay with it. The more I'm okay. As you say, I'm good where I'm at. Leave me alone.
That's right. You know, I don't try to proselytize to you. Don't proselytize to me. Right. Exactly.
She goes to our church occasionally to support her husband or whatever. She has literally, in the middle of our pastor's sermon, stopped church and said, "You have a witch in church." You know, she had literally and brought it down. He'll stop the sermon. He'll bring her down. He'll bring me down. And he was like, "You know what, Mary?" And her name is Mary, believe it or not. Ha, ha, ha.
What a coinkydink.
Right? But she's just like, and blah, and she's airing all the gossip and all the dirt and all this other stuff. I taught her grandchildren spells, and I taught that, which I never did. I've never done that because I know their faith, and I know that they, you know, I would never cross that boundary. That's something I'm not ever willing to do. Right. But he was like, "You know what? I have been to Derry's home. I have seen her room. I have seen her altars. I have meditated with her. I've seen her morning routine." He said, "She has a beautiful duality of faith." He said, "What is on my altar behind me? Incense, flowers, and candles. What is on Derry's incenses at her home? Flowers, incense, and candles. What's, you know," she goes, "Yeah, but she's worshiping the devil." How do you know that?
Well, and here's the problem with that. As witches, we don't believe in the devil. The devil is a Christian concept. The devil didn't even exist in the Jewish faith, I believe. That was a purely Christian concept, which has been carried forward. Now, of course, they had Lucifer, whom we equate with Satan, because he was the great angel that fell. But the fact of the matter is, he was once an angel who fell from the grace of God in his own arrogance, right? And it was, like it or not, it boils down to jealousy over Jesus.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, it always amazes me and amuses me when people are like, "Oh, you're a witch." You know, when I was a kid, my mom used to say that because I had abilities. And, you know, the thing is those abilities existed within my family. My mother was the same way. And yet when I would express that, she would be like, "What, are you a witch?" You know, and it's funny because my sister and I were having a discussion the other day because my sister is now practicing.
Yes.
And, you know, I said, "Well, does mom know that you're a witch?" And she said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "Does mom know I'm practicing?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, she knows." You know, but I think she probably always knew.
Yeah.
Always. You know, so I've been fortunate that I haven't had anybody get into my, I should have brought it with me. It's out in the other room. I did, however, because on my vehicle, I have a pearl white kind of moon, shimmery white Rogue, Nissan Rogue. I can't remember the exact name of the paint, but it's like a shimmery kind of creamy white. And I have a triple moon sticker that is white on the back of my car. So you don't see it right away. And then I have a witch on the other side. That's the same. Yeah. It's white. So it kind of blends in, but you catch it. I actually got mailed in the mail a letter from the Jehovah's Witness. "We've been trying to contact you. We have some information for you," because they won't dare come to my house.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, reason being is that when I was in the Catholic Church, and I was studying to become an apologist, which is why I left the Catholic Church. I learned all the verses that the Jehovah's Witness fight with themselves about. So right. I'll get them in and I'll point out some of these scriptures. And by the time they leave my house, they're arguing amongst themselves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have received a reputation of don't go there. But that didn't stop them from mailing me a letter. And I have the letter because I plan to respond to it with a thank you very kindly for thinking of me and showing concern. However, I'm very happy in my practice of the craft and don't feel that I need any other religion in my life at this time. Thank
right.
you. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's ask now, what were you raised? What faith were you raised with?
I was raised Episcopalian until I was 12. When I was 12, we left the church because we had a new pastor come in who was not, who we found out later was a pedophile. He was an alcoholic. I was never touched. I was never harmed. But a very dear friend of mine who was in my church was, and I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. And it was hard because my parents were on the vestry. We were very involved. I was in the children's choir. They were in the choir. My parents were on the vestry, which is the board of the church, you know, so it was really hard for them to say, okay, no, we have to walk away. But it was also, you have to walk away for the safety of your child.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We had a similar incident in the Church of Christ when I was growing up.
Yeah, you have to. And my dad started going back to that church, and it's not the same pastor. It's a female pastor now, but he started going back to that church after my mom passed away in 2005. He started going back to that church. So it was very odd for me when he passed away to have his, because we had my grandmother's memorial service there in 1998, which is the last time I'd set foot in that church. So it was very weird for me to walk back into those doors mm-hmm. In last year when my dad passed away. I was like, this is, it was like everything from my childhood came running back. I was like, wait a minute. This is bizarre to be in this sanctuary. I was like, wow, it's just, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, and it's very weird because the different memorial services that we've had versus my mother, my grandmother, the pastors were very open to what we wanted, whereas my dad's was very regimented. No, this is what we do for funerals. This is the verses we read. This is what, and I was like, but that's not my dad. Well, then... You know, and I was like, but he wanted his memorial service in that church. So I was not going to go against his wishes. But I was just like, but everybody who knew my dad that was still alive was there. And they were like, but that's not your dad. And I said, you're right. It's not. But I gave him what he wanted.
Right.
I just, so, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about how growing up in that environment, at what age did you realize your witchiness, and how did you come to the path and to the Morrigan specifically?
I came to the Morrigan about 4 years ago, and when she came to me, I freaked because I didn't know. All I had known about the Morrigan was what I had read, and what I had read had scared me. I was frightened of her. I didn't know enough. There wasn't a lot, I mean, and the information is overwhelming. So I was like, okay, this woman means business. And I didn't accept her right away. She came to me in like July and I was like running away. I was like, no, I can't do it. But she persisted. And I was like, okay, she's got a lesson to teach. So I have to, you know, I have to man up and be like, all right, let's do this. But when I was about 14. I had grown up from the time we left the church. I was raised a theater child. I was born and raised in the theater. So I was always around the artsy people. I was always around artists and creators and musicians. And I was in the 70s. So we were in the hippies and, you know, and we had a bunch of hippies in the apartments behind us growing up. So it was like, that was, you know, I'd always grown up around the smell of patchouli and marijuana and all that. So it was just like, you know, and me playing out, I grew up playing around out in nature. So it was just like, that was just second nature, you know, and I just was like,
no. And then I showed up where you're living now. Like, was it the same community?
I live in Harrisville, Pennsylvania, which is about 45 minutes away from my hometown. We're 45 minutes south of my hometown.
But you grew up in Pennsylvania. Now, my understanding of Pennsylvania, and you'll have to forgive me because I'm in Texas and I haven't traveled much around the United States, but one of my assistants was from Pennsylvania. And when she came here, she laughed because she's like, y'all's trees are so short. And I'm like, well, what kind of trees you gotten in Pennsylvania? And here's the thing. In Texas, it depends on where you are. Because like here in North Texas, we have a mix of oak and ash and some thorn, actually, oak and ash and thorn. Funny in that. But we also have pine trees. And some of them grow very tall. When you go to East Texas, it's all cypress and pine. You know, that's the piney woods of Texas. And then if you go out West Texas, that's desert. So you got scrub brush. You know, so, it really varies a lot depending on where in Texas you are. So I was like, well, like, how exactly tall are y'all's trees in Pennsylvania? So my view of Pennsylvania has always either been Amish country or forest. lots of forest.
We have the pine trees. We have the big oaks. We have the, we've got the pine trees. And so it's allergy central right now because all the pine.
You see me? Yeah. For those of you that aren't going to see this because we're on video, but this is only audio for the podcast. I have a big fat tissue here that I am rubbing across my nose. Because see, that's what's made. Oh, let's talk about the whole COVID thing too. While we're at, might as well bring that up. Hope everybody is staying safe, but this staying inside and social distancing is freaking killing me. I am not going to lie. I am a hugger, and not being able to walk up to a baby in the store and go, oh, thank you, baby, and, you know, and Google babies, you know, everybody's like, oh, my God.
We just left the grocery store, and I don't have a mask.
You know? Here's the deal. I'm making masks. I've got 25 or 30 of them cut and ready to sew. I just need the elastic. The elastic's supposed to be here, so I will send you some. I'm waiting for the elastic to come in. Harold found some on eBay and ordered me a ton of it. And it's supposed to be here sometime between tomorrow and Thursday. Because once I get them in, once I get the elastic, I can have them sewn. Because I got some of those little wonder clips because I got tired of sticking myself with needles. a little bit of my blood in the mask there. I don't think anybody wants that. But, you know, those wonder clips are a joy because you can sew right around them and they're great. But anyway, I'll send you some, but this is really, I have been working nonstop healing magic to try to put an end to this in the area. And, you know, the thing about this is people are going to hate me for saying this, but I was looking at the peak, right? Because they're saying 200,000 people. And I'm like, 200,000 people is a lot of people. And in my opinion, any loss of life is tragic because that's somebody's loved one, somebody's friend, somebody's aunt, mother, uncle, sister, brother, whatever. But I was looking at the total population of the United States as of last year, and 200,000 is only 0.00617% of the total population. It's nothing. But all of us need to be doing our part to try to put a stop to this because any loss of life is too much. And it's absolutely killing me to be in the house all the time. But I'm considered an essential worker, so I'm still out there working.
Right.
You know?
So it's
I can't get out in nature.
My husband works for AT&T. So he's an essential worker.
Exactly.
But luckily, you know, they keep their doors locked. They only are allowed one customer, you know, at a time, you know, but honestly, he doesn't have like Saturday, he was at work from 11 in the morning to 7 at night and he didn't see a single solitary soul.
Yeah. A lot of my visits were doing, because you know, I'm a speech path. So I'm doing a lot of my therapy via teletherapy, but it has taken a huge toll because some of our clients are highly autistic or they don't, they're elderly and they don't have the ability to do online visits, but they're so afraid of the COVID, especially the elderly, that they have stopped therapy. So, you know, it has taken a hit on the business. So, you know, I really have been looking to things like this to link me to the outside world because I need people. So when Kellyanne did her little post about let's share, I was like, yes, new blogs, new people. I need people. You know, It's really gotten to.
I have my little online coven, and we talk to each other every day. And we video, now that we're all home, it's like we're doing the Christian Witches Roundtable, and we're doing, you know, our weekly video chats. But right now, Anon, we don't think she has it, but she's down in LA and she's very, very sick. She's been sick for a month now. And wow. So she's able to do, but see, even Steve, my husband said, as sick as TJ and I were back this winter, when we got sick, we got sick in November and we're sick till February.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, I remember he was very sick, and I kind of wondered, because here's the thing, I got a feeling this has been around longer than we think.
Yes, yeah, because
about a year ago, I got super sick.
Right, super sick. The flu, I swear to God, the flu back in the winter was COVID, and they didn't know what they were testing.
Well, see, they kept testing me for flu, and it kept coming back negative, but they couldn't identify what it was, so they did a CBC. Right. And found that it was viral, but they couldn't tell me what it was. So they ended up putting me on two different medications, and that's what finally got rid of it. But I was sick for probably 3 or 4 weeks, and I mean real sick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
This poor kid had 7 cases of strep. 7.
Oh, man. Strep is horrible.
I had 2 cases of flu. He had 2 cases of flu. And then I got bronchitis.
Is that your grimoire there, my friend? He's waving his little.
Yes, he's showing you his little grimoire.
I love it. I love it.
Okay, go play. So,
well, let me get off topic again and go right back to the topic we were on. You were saying when you were about 14 is when the Morgan came to you. Okay.
Yeah. So the Morgan came to me about 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Sorry. But when you were about 14 is when you started getting into Morgan.
I started the path when I was about 14 because I had been reading. I had found something on witchcraft and I was like, well, damn, I do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I am a witch, and I didn't, and this is funny, was my granny raised me, my granny Bird raised me, and my grandmother was a costume designer, and she was the epitome of a lady. She always wore a dress, she was always dressed to the nines, always had her high heels, always had her makeup. This woman was raised in the backwoods of Kentucky. She lived in a town called Helfer Sarton Creek, Kentucky.
Interesting name.
Yeah. Which is no longer, but I found out about 7 years ago. Granny died in 1988. She never told me she was a witch. Never. I found out via a medium about 7 years ago that my granny was an old backwater swamp witch.
Mm.
And that's why I always wondered why she never... She never denied me. She never said, no, don't do that.
Well, and I think some of that is that what we consider folk remedies is really of folk magic. It's root magic. It's you know, the views and the remedies and the things that were passed down, that knowledge that was passed down typically through the female side, but not always, because I learned water witching from a man. There was an old man that showed me how to do that way back when I was a kid. But see, my great grandmother on my mother's side, her father's mother was a full blood Cherokee, supposedly.
Yeah.
And she was the one who taught me how to fire scry. She taught me at a family reunion in a bonfire. And my mother had an absolute meltdown because she considered it witchcraft. But to her, it was a native belief. It was something that had been passed down from generation through generation to her family and that she had learned from her mother. So, you know, but my mother didn't get along well with her grandmother. You know, my grandmother's mother-in-law. So, you know, she was a very stoic woman. She didn't smile a lot. She was very serious. Yeah. And so I think a lot of that gets passed down and people don't even think about it in terms of witchcraft. But for our purposes today, that's what we call it.
Right. You know, and that's why I get frustrated with the term Christian witchcraft, because everybody's like, oh, it's an oxymoron. if you, you know, because the Old Testament is a contradiction to what, you know, and my thing is, read between the lines, get deeper. If you have confusion, then ask the questions. Ask those tough questions if you're going to use the Bible as a spell book or you're going to use, you know, because it's, find somebody that you trust, that you know reads the Bible, that is in the, you know, or find a fellow Christian witch and ask those difficult questions. Say, why does this conflict when this says this, but this says this? And I've had a lot of people say to me, and a lot of these new Christian witches that are coming out are like, oh, well, the Bible was written by God. And I'm like, no, the Bible was written by a man. And that's why growing up, I didn't hold a lot of faith in the Bible because it was so contradictory. It was so, and it's been transcribed so many times into so many different, and I was just like, I'm confused when I read the Bible. So right. I don't tend to use the Bible in my craft.
Well, whereas, and that's the reasons why I left the church.
Right.
You know, when I was studying to be an apologist with the Catholic Church, we had to learn the origin of the Bible, which was not actually codified into a written book until like 324 AD at the Council of Nicaea. And so I was in there going, you know, and my logical mind's going tick, 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 tick. So I'm going, okay, hold on just a minute. Wait, well, hold on here. So I'm thinking, I'm going, okay. So it wasn't even written down until 300 and some odd years after the death of Christ. So how do we know that that's even what he said? Because if you've ever played the rumor game at a party, you can't get one word to be the same among 24 people or a sentence to be the sentence it started out with. By the time you get to 324 years of an oral tradition and it's finally written down, plus the Council of Nicaea was a body of men. When you look at the political environment of the time, they were trying to consolidate power to men in the Catholic Church. So there were certain gospels left out of the Bible, like the Gospel of Mary.
There's so much that's left out of the Bible. There's so much information that is left out of the Bible, and it would blow your mind. It would literally blow your mind.
It did, but that's where I had to say, you know what? I need to step back from this. And, and I personally chose to step all the way back. Now, I don't disparage anyone who is Christian. That's their faith. Right. You need faith. Right. Faith is important. It gives us roots.
Right.
It gives us an ability to get through difficult times. Right. So I don't disparage anybody who's Christian, and I will sit down and have a discussion with anyone that's Christian. And I know my Bible, because when I was a kid, my mom made sure we knew it. I was a walking concordance by the time I was 11 years old. But it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, not going to sit there and stand up for what I believe either. So let me ask you this. I want to go back a little bit to prior to the Rainbow Witch's Colorful Cottage. Let's talk about the original Derry the Sinewitch Carpenter channel that you had. Now, there was a whole lot of drama and BS going on with specific people, and I don't want to mention names, but it was very taxing on you, and I think it created a toxic environment, not just for you, but around you and with you. With everything you were dealing with, because it was affecting you a great deal. So was the new channel an attempt to kind of break from that group of people that would just relentlessly hunt you down and
like that's not the only reason. I am not, and Natalie, you've been with me from day one, so you've seen this. I'm not the person I was when I was the original. I'm a whole other person because I didn't know. I wasn't a Christian witch at that time. I mean, Christianity was always a part of my path, but I had never fully said, okay, this is where I want to go. This is where I, you know, and I finally had to go. I went back and I looked at those videos, and I was just as lethal as everybody else. I was just as toxic as everybody else because I wasn't hearing what you and so many other people who loved me were saying. Stop giving into it. Stop feeding it. I didn't want to hear that because I had a feeling. I was like, damn it. I have a right to say what I want to say.
You needed to defend yourself.
Right, but what I was defending wasn't worth me defending.
Well, I won't say that. Here was my issue with the whole situation was it seemed like the more you responded, it fed them energy. What I wanted you to do was just put a stop to the energy altogether. Just step back and say, you know what? You guys are not even worth my time. But it was like you were locked into the cycle of, I have to defend myself. I have to defend myself. That was one of the things that I learned with my husband because, you know, you've known me a long time now. We've been friends for a long time. We've had a lot of discussions outside of Facebook, just on the phone, you and me, about how sometimes my home environment is toxic. Sometimes it's absolutely wonderful. I live with a weird dichotomy and duality with my husband, who one minute will tell me that he's sorry, he'll try to be more supportive of my witchcraft, and you know, he thinks it's kind of cute and sexy and all this stuff, which is kind of ridiculous in and of itself because it's not supposed to be. It's just me, right? It's who I am. Now, if you think that that's appealing, that's great, but that's not why I'm doing it. But then he'll turn right around in the same breath and say, I can never accept your witchiness. Well, if you don't accept my witchiness, you're not accepting me. Right. And then he'll turn around and buy me a new tool. You know, so it's, I keep getting this like conflicting kind of environment, which is sometimes very toxic. And you have been very, very there with me through some of that, because some of that has been like, I've come very close to saying, I'm out of here. You know, F this, bleep, 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 bleep. I'm done with this. Right. And I learned that lesson from watching you and seeing how giving into that kind of toxicity only fueled it more. And I had to learn to step back from Harold's toxicity and say, you know what? I'm just going to roll my eyes at what you're saying and you can keep talking because you're going to change your opinion 2 minutes from now.
Right.
So let me ask you, now that you have created this wonderful new channel that is such a positive, colorful, the whole energy of your new channel is different, in my opinion. It's very positive. It's very colorful. It's very light filled. Have any of those morons found you yet?
No.
Because I haven't seen any of them around either, frankly, on YouTube. No. It seems like
the thing that I'm laughing about is the school that I came into to YouTube with Ember and Lady Gravedancer and the people that we won't talk about. They're not there anymore. They've all gone on to Patreon or there. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, Ember still puts out videos once in a while. She's great. She's not one of the ones we're referring to. And neither is Lady Gravedancer. She had taken all of her videos down, but she has reposted them all. But she's not putting out new content, you know. Sunshine, you know, Morning Ray, you know, her content is still there. I would love to get her to come on here and talk with me because she hasn't done anything in so long. And I think that having practiced for nearly 30 years at this point, over 30 years, I think, she really has a lot to offer.
That's the reason that when I did leave, I was on the outs with Sunshine and Lady Gravedancer and Raven. And I was like, well, okay. And I was like, you know what? I still feel like I have something to say. I have something, and I'm here in this craft and in this capacity for a reason. I am a healer. I feel like I am a teacher. People can learn from my mistakes. They can learn from, you know, we can all learn from each other.
Right.
That's why YouTube is
such a... We all have something to offer that's different and unique because our craft is different and unique.
Right. Yeah. And my thing was... is I saw my own toxicity. I saw what I was putting out, and I was like, I'm just as horrible as these idiots.
Well, I wouldn't say that. But you were certainly feeding into that energy, and it was not healthy for you.
No. And I was like, you know, so I literally had to step away, and I just was like, okay, and I had to reevaluate who the hell am I? What do I want to do? Who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? And I was like, you know what? I'm always talking about putting love in the world, but I'm not doing it either. And I was like, I literally had to flip the script on the negativity. I had to literally witch slap the negativity and be like, listen here, I'm not having it anymore. And I had to adopt the attitude of gratitude.
Right.
And literally, I would do a gratitude list and I would post it on Facebook every day. And I need to get back into that because I stopped that for a while. But I will post 5 things that I'm grateful for every day. And I will post it on
Facebook. Good time to do that, because I think right now a lot of people are feeling the pressure of the isolation. Sadly, I had a client that tried to commit suicide this past week, and he should be getting out of the hospital. But I was unaware of what was going on. And, you know, in talking with the owner of the company, I was like, you know, part of his issue was he was feeling trapped in the house. And I'm like, well, unfortunately, we're all trapped in the house. Right. And those of us that do have to go out don't really want to go out.
We have a large yard that, you know, yes, TJ can get outside and play. I can get outside and meditate if I want to. I can sit on the porch on a nice day. Like today, it's gorgeous outside. It's still a little chilly for me. It's still just a little chilly for me. It's 49 degrees out. So it's still a little bit. I'm like, nope, sorry. It's not 70.
See,
I'm not
going out. I thrive on that. I would be like so out there. It's going to be a high of 56 today, but tomorrow it's going to be 80. And it's humid, which is hence my hair. For those of you that can't see, my hair is up. In some sort of weird conglomeration of something or other, because it's just like a human Q-tip. But this isolation, you know, and here's the thing. I have noticed a lot of people in my neighborhood, because I live in a weird area. We have a neighborhood, and we have 3 neighborhoods that span this corridor, but we're out in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, the area is growing rapidly. There's like 6 or 7 new neighborhoods going in north of us, but I have noticed that people are out walking every day and they're not really social distancing. I'm seeing kids riding their bikes with their friends and throwing the ball. And I'm like, okay, now here's the issue. This stuff is now spreading to animals around us. Did you hear about the tiger in the Bronx Zoo? But what I'm loving about your channel is the positivity that I'm seeing coming out of it. The actual rainbows that just seem to emanate out of Colorful Cottage. And it's fantastic, because I think at this point in time, when a lot of us are feeling the pressure of that isolation, even though I'm leaving my home, because as a speech pathologist, I'm considered an essential worker, because a lot of people are like, really? Speech pathology is an essential service? Okay. Communication is indeed an essential service. And we also do, we do feeding. You know, we work with people that have had strokes, that are having difficulty with the muscular system of the swallowing mechanism. So absolutely. Right. And I don't like having to go out of my home. I found that here's the Cancerian side of me peeking through. I would absolutely love to switch entirely to a teletherapy format, never leave my house. Now that I can have groceries delivered and food delivered, I don't ever need to leave my home, you know, but I still need people and I still need to feel connected. So
I'm an extrovert. So I need that. I need to be out, you know, but honestly, since TJ and I have been sick, I really haven't been out of the house unless it's to go to church, which we now do online. You know, as I said, I just got back from the grocery store and, you know, but I'm like, usually when we go to the grocery store, my husband's with me, TJ and I'll stay in the car and he'll go in and get whatever. And I'm like, I'm one of these ones that I'm like, no, I need to be out. I need to have some fresh air. I need to, you know.
Yeah. I need to get outside. I need the fresh air and I need to be in nature. But in my opinion, there's too many people that are not observing the social distancing, since we don't really know much about this virus in terms of, there's guesstimates about how long it survives on this environment or how long it survives in this environment. And although they do know that it's fragile in terms of heat, kills it off pretty easy until that heat gets up here.
Yeah.
I don't even want to be out and around people, because my husband's a social worker. He's working up at a nursing home in Gainesville. He can't afford to be exposed. I can't afford to expose myself. I don't want to expose my children. Well, now my animals, now I'm worried that my animals might be getting it. So, you know, all of us are in the house.
I mean, we were, you know, having to come in from the grocery store and wipe down all of your food before you put it away. Or, you know, like each day was saying something to me in the store and he said something and he's like, but mommy, I just don't understand. And I said, honey, none of us do.
Yeah.
The doctors don't understand. We don't understand. I can't explain it because I don't understand.
I think that there's been a lot of misinformation and fear mongering. that I think has blown it out of the way. Now, I do think caution is always the best option. I mean, obviously, we all want to stay safe, which is why I've been sewing masks out the wazoo. And giving them. We have two fire departments right down the street from our house, right down the street from each other. Right. And I've taken masks to them. I have taken masks to my patients. I have given masks to my husband. I'm making masks for the other therapists that I work with. You know, it's because I feel like we need to do something. I feel the need to do something because I feel duty bound. In a time of need, we need to step up to the plate, because when all this is over, are you going to be happy with who you are at the end of it and what you did to put a stop to it? And that includes magic. I think we witches can call upon the powers that be, whether Christian or non-Christian, and work together to stop the energy of this virus where it is, and to bring about whatever it's going to take to put a stop to it.
Right. Like, but I live
been around a lot longer.
I follow a channel called The Witch of the Dismal Swamp. Her name is Trish. I love her to death. She made a protective and a healing witch's blue salt the other day, and I literally came home and I made it, but I added my own twist to it, you know, so now it's, you know, we all have, you know, so I've got my witch's blue salt in my windowsills, and, you know, but again, it's also your intention. It's what do you want, you know, and my intent is to keep this stuff at bay. I don't want it entering my home. I don't want it, you know, kind of the same thing like when I make my witch's black salt. I make a huge batch of it and I use it outside along my property line. And yes, my neighbors all know I'm a witch. My neighbors all know I'm a witch. But, you know, I'm like, so when they see me out there with the big pile of something and they're, okay, she's doing something. I'm like, I'm not going to.
She's a doing something. No, we don't mess with her at this point.
You know, I'm like, okay, but that's just, you know, and I light my candles and I say my intentions and I do my gratitude and I make my videos when I'm called. And, you know, like I'm on a letter writing campaign right now. I've got all the cards and I'm out writing letters every day to people. And, you know, because now is the time to bring back snail mail, because that's the thing that was getting to me, is I'm sick of seeing nothing but bills in my damn mailbox.
Oh my God. Yes.
I'm so sick of it.
I'm with you.
Some color. I want some brightness. I want some happy in my goddamn mail. And yes, I have got packages out the wazoo to send. I don't have the finances right now to send them.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat you are. I've got all kinds of stuff to send to people, but I don't have the money for the shipping right now. So I'm like, because now is the time when people need that stuff, right? The problem is, but I get it disinfected before they open it.
No, right now.
I'll tell you, I really do agree with you. I think this is the time to be sharing some of that love mail. But again, I mean, does everybody have a can of Lysol to spray it down with? Because it's not just that you've touched it. Now everybody else in the postal system's touched it.
Right.
And, you know, is it even even safe to have that package? It's like every package is a bomb now. It's like, okay, well, let me just, you know, before I open that or touch it or...
Honestly, I'm like, I got the Lysol, so I'm good. So I'm like, yes, I got something to make.
I'm going to open it up because I figure I'm washing my hands 1,000 times a day. And we have hand sanitizer here out the wazoo. Harold, actually, we had some of the offices anyway, because we always keep an abundant supply.
Right.
Anyhow, plus I make my own. Plus, you know, Harold found some online the other day and ordered some more. I'm sorry, my nose is itching like mother.
I know.
Allergies. But, you know, I have to say that now is definitely the time for us to step up. And in my latest blog post, I actually posted a sigil I created for a spell that I put into the blog about stopping the COVID virus. And I really do believe that if we put it all together and combine our energies towards that effort, we can stop this. Because I've seen us stop the things like cancer and things like that. So I know we can do something about this. But it's going to take everybody working together. And
don't into the fear. That's my big thing, is do not give into the, you know, because I've had people saying to me, well, Derry, you're being naive and you're being, no, I'm not. I'm just not choosing to give into the fear because I know my own mind and I know my own soul well enough that if I were to even think about giving into that fear, put me in a padded cell because I'm not coming back.
Because I'm not gonna do well. Exactly. I'm being cautious, and I'm trying to be cognizant of my fellow man, and be courteous to my fellow man in terms of covering my face and what have you. And like I said, being cautious for my family. When I'm out, I try to cover my face. I try to wear gloves. When I'm at the store, I don't wear them when I'm driving. At the same time, I'm using the hand sanitizer constantly. So, I have to take my temperature every time I go to a facility or work with a new patient. If I'm working with them at home, we're required to take our temperature, their temperature, wear gloves, wear masks. That is a requirement now. So, I feel confident that I can go out without fear. But at the same time, this is definitely sparking in me. I'm a weird kind of individual. I like to be among people and I need people, but I also can be very introverted. That's why I like the online methods, because I can see and connect with people, but I don't have to be in the same room with you, and it's kind of a weird dichotomy, but it's true. And there's a part of me that's really loving the whole online therapy, because I can just stack those clients up one after another, click, hang up, start the new one, click, hang up. So I can stack client to client. I'm saving gas, so I'm not eking on the environment. I don't have to be out among the stupidity of people that are out there today. And, but at the same time, we need each other. We are social creatures. And this is taking a heavy toll. It really is.
This is hard on me because I'm a new grandma. I have I have a 6-month-old granddaughter who is down in my town. And I have another one on the way. Jake's baby's due in October. So
Wow.
But
hopefully this will be over by that point.
Yes. Oh. Well, we're hoping it's over by June so they can actually have their wedding. So
that would be great.
Yeah. Because their wedding was supposed to be this past weekend, but they had to move it because of COVID. But it's hard because I'm used to seeing her every day. I can go down, I can drive down, and now I still see her every day, but it's on the video, and she's not really coherent. She just wants the phone. She hears Dee Dee, she doesn't know, and now that she's crawling.
Connection.
Right.
Human touch is an amazing thing, and babies learn through touch. It was funny because, as you know, I'm 3 classes away from my PhD in child development. And I was hoping to go back this semester and finish out at least one of the classes because I'm running out of time. If I don't finish within a certain time frame, I have to start all over again. I know it's devastating. And I'm really hoping that because of all this COVID confusion, I can get these last 3 classes locked in and done. Because once I take my comps and dissertation, once I do comps, I can call myself doctor. And order those address labels, doctor and Mr. Sedgwick. I'll be all but dissertation. But my husband was like, I see a dissertation coming out of this about how does this isolation in the home affect, people on the spectrum or children and their development. And because we are social creatures, we learn from one another. And I'm like, maybe.
This is hard as a parent on me because I have 4 children, but I only have 1 at home.
Right. Oh, same here. We have one that sometimes lives at home.
He's basically an only child. And with him being ADHD, the emphasis on the H, the hyperactivity, and he has a tutor at school. He has a tutor here after school, which he doesn't have now. So now it's just me and that homework battle and the online and getting used to having online school. And I'm just like, and with teaching, it's so hard because I've had, and I've got a lot of friends that have kids, but they have siblings. TJ doesn't have anybody.
Right. And see, that's kind of us. Harold and I are dealing with not having our children at home because our 2 oldest daughters rent a home together in Denton, which is about 20 miles to the west of us. It's not much of a drive. I mean, our kids went to Denton school, so we're used to driving into Denton normally, but now it's like Denton's kind of going into lockdown.
Yeah. Stop.
And then our youngest child, who still semi resides here at home, she comes home, and the days that she has to work, she's staying here. But the days that she doesn't work, she's driving to Arlington and staying with her boyfriend because he's by himself.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want him at home by himself with nothing to do. So, especially because he just lost his cat. So, you know, she's like, he needs somebody there or he's going to go crazy. So we don't see her for days on end. And I mean, I'm telling you, like, the reason we're doing this today and not on Saturday was because Harold now working Monday through Friday. He's home Saturday, Sunday. I had to do my video for Witches of the Moon this morning. We're doing this interview this morning. I'm going to try to sneak another one in tomorrow because he goes to work because I can't get anything done on the weekend. Literally, we did absolutely nothing. I didn't even clean the house.
Steve is home on Thursdays and on Sundays. And Steve is OCD. So when he's home, it's, oh, we have to clean everything. And like yesterday was just a bad day. I mean, he was in OCD mode. He's screaming at me and TJ. And I was like, nobody wants to see me right now. Nobody wants to talk to me because I'm going to bite somebody's head off.
I literally took my hat out and put it on yesterday and said, I'm doing this to remind you who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and he kind of looked at me like he didn't know what to think. And I was like, because I ain't playing, okay? I'm not here just to sit with you and not talk. If we're going to be together, we're going to talk, and we're going to talk about something other than work and the usual topics. There must be more to life than just the three things we talk about all the time. So, you know, I don't know. It's such a weird environment right now. And as far as witchcraft goes, I mean, all the covens can't meet. People that, for example, Lady Rhea and Alexander Cabot were supposed to be here in Arlington on Beltane, the weekend of Beltane, to talk about her book, The Enchanted Formulary. And I was so looking forward to meeting them and getting my book signed and maybe having dinner with them. You know, Patty Cabot's going to come up from... she lives south of me in Corsicana. She was going to come up for that. She and I were going to go to Scarborough Fair, which is the Ren Fair here. And it was canceled. I'm sure the one up in Ohio was canceled. If this isn't done by October, the one in Houston will be. Thank God we got to go to Witch Fest in Austin before all this really broke, because South by Southwest had just been canceled. And a lot of people were afraid that... WitchCon was going to be canceled, but it was not a WitchFest. I mean, WitchCon's the one up here in October, but I had applied to be a speaker at the WitchCon here in Dallas in October. And I'm going to be heartbroken if I don't at least get to hang out with some people, even if I'm not chosen as a speaker. I'm like, I need these gatherings to be around like-minded people. Going to WitchFest in Austin was so healing. So you need to come out here. Yeah. You need to come out here. Yeah. But see, who can?
I could go to Pittsburgh. I don't drive long distances. Like 45 minutes to my hometown is about as far as I'll drive by myself. Mm-hmm. I don't like the interstate. You know, so going to Pittsburgh.
Fly, is like, woman, fly.
You know.
That's what your broomstick's for.
I know. You mean this lovely rainbow room that I have?
That's right. See? Now, did you do that yourself or did someone do that for you?
No, that was a gift from a former friend. That was a gift from my former friend named Christina Messina. She got that from Broomcorn Johnny's, which is a Facebook page. He has a Facebook page, but he's got some of the most gorgeous brooms I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't have any of my stuff here anymore. It's all at my office, which is another thing that's kind of killing me because, you know, I just moved all my witchy stuff to my office, and now I can't really, I mean, I can travel there because as an essential worker, I can be out and I can say, oh, I'm going to my office, but the cop knows my family. He has a vendetta against my daughter. And so he's been parking right in front of the office and stopping me every time. And I'm like, look, we're not going through this, Officer Pruitt. You know me. You need to stop messing with me or you're going to really regret this. And he's like, well, are you threatening me? I said, no, I'm making you a promise. But I have to come to my office to get supplies because I'm still seeing patients. I need gloves. I need masks. I need this and that. You know, but, you know, at the same time, I'm like sneaking into my personal office where all my stuff is and just going, you know, breathing that.
Kristen the other day. She has her own office space now. But because she's afraid to go to her office, she just grabbed all of her witchy supplies and brought them home again. And I was like,
yeah,
you know.
So, I brought some of mine home with me. Your audio just went funky on us all of a sudden. I did the same thing. I went to my office and got some herbs that I need for a salve that I make for Harold. And I got my Book of Shadows and one altar cloth and some of my stuff for ritual, because I don't know how long this is going to go on. And I can't cart that stuff back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
You know, especially not Lucille, because I'm not taking a chance of dropping that, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of like, well, Derry, why don't you share with everybody your YouTube channel and your Facebook groups for those that are interested in learning more about Christian witchcraft and how that is and what it is and your Christian Witches Roundtable?
Yes, I have. There's a Facebook group called the Christian Witches Roundtable. It's a private group, but then we also have a Facebook page. I have another group that is also a private group, but it's you know, just if you find me on Facebook, it's Derry Carpenter. Find me on Facebook. I can get you in my groups. I have the Cauldron of Harmony, which I've had for probably about 3 years now, 3-4 years now, which is just a general witchy group. We get in, we talk, you know, it's like, but it's about 85 people. But the Christian Witches Roundtable is a new one that we started. We have the Christian Witches Roundtable page, which we have videos on it that we've done. It's me and six other Christian witches, and we have the Witches Haven, which is also a Facebook page. Witches Are Live, which is another Facebook page. And then I have my personal YouTube channel, which is the Rainbow Witches Colorful Cottage. And then I'm on Instagram as Derry Carpenter, or no, the Derry Cinewitch. I don't remember. I'm on Instagram. So I'm just Just find me. There's a lot of pages and stuff there. So yeah, just come find me.
Awesome. Well, I do appreciate you taking the time to come on the podcast and share a little bit about how you blend your witchcraft with your Christianity and answering some of those questions that I know a lot of people tend to bring up. So again, I thank you so very much, Derry.
Yeah,